This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. Ernest, what's up? Look, quick question. How is your social battery doing right now? I'll be honest, mine is a bit on the low side. Maybe it's not setting enough boundaries or just a typical slowdown after our super hectic work schedule. It's so easy to overlook our social needs or overextend ourselves, isn't it? What's your ideal balance of socializing? And how do you recharge? Whether you find energy in crowds or need more time to yourself, understanding your social needs is crucial. I remember a time when I struggled to balance my social engagement with my personal downtime. Y'all know us, we're always outside. So what really helped me was learning to recognize my limits and prioritizing my well-being. I've heard plenty of my peers champion therapy as a great tool for gaining this kind of insight. It's not just for big life issues. It's also about enhancing your day-to-day life by equipping you with the skills to manage your social energy effectively. So if you're considering therapy, why not check out BetterHelp? It's an entirely online service, making it incredibly convenient and adaptable to your lifestyle. Just start with a quick questionnaire and you'll be matched with a licensed therapist. And if you feel the need to switch therapists for any reason, you can do so at any time without any extra cost. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/earnyourleisure today to get 10% off your first month. Remember, that's BetterHelp, HELP.com/earnyourleisure. Don't wait, don't hesitate, head over there now. Earners, what's up? Look, I want to talk to you about something that's been a real game changer for us and our business, ShipStation. If you're running an online store, you know how crucial it is to get your orders out quickly and efficiently, but it can also be one of the biggest headaches. That's where ShipStation comes in. With ShipStation, managing and shipping your orders is easier than ever. Whether you're selling on Amazon, Etsy, your own website, or all of the above, ShipStation funnels all your orders onto one simple interface that you can manage from anywhere, even your phone. ShipStation works with all major carriers, including UPS, FedEx, USPS, and more. You can easily compare rates and delivery times to find the best shipping option for you and your customers. Plus, you can automate almost any shipping task like creating shipping labels, tracking packages, and setting notifications for your customers. It's a huge time saver. For us, ShipStation has been a lifesaver. It's taken the stress out of shipping and fulfillment, allowing us to focus more on growing business. And the best part, it's incredibly affordable with options that fit any budget. So if you're ready to take your shipping game to the next level, head over to ShipStation.com and use the promo code EARN to get a 60-day free trial. That's 2 months of hassle-free, stress-free shipping for free. Remember, whether you're shipping a few packages a week or a few thousand, ShipStation makes it easy to manage it all. Go to ShipStation.com, click the microphone at the top of the homepage, and type in EARN. ShipStation, make ship happen.
At what point do you really like hit your stride and become like a superstar in the space, do you think?
Well, not yet. what became important to me was to try to prove that the good things that were happening weren't environmental. Right, that became important to me. So I kind of said, okay, Primavera was a good company, had momentum, US-based, and I kind of found my way there. So now at KDS, this company's not going well. Primavera was going well when I arrived. This company's not going well. Can I turn that company around? Okay, so that was that situation. I want to find another situation that doesn't look like either of these two, and I want to deliver in that situation because now I've got three successes, different types of technology, different geographic markets, different types of end customers. And if I can do free, then that probably answers a question that it's not environmental. It's not that I find, I'm lucky showing up in good places. So that became important to me. And I would say after the third one, which was Core HR, which we sold to Access for 250 million euros, after that one, I started to feel like I might know what I'm doing. It was like at that point, I thought,
how did you turn, let's talk about this, the second company, right, that you went to, you became a CEO, you turned it around, mm-hmm. and you ended up selling it?
We sold it to American Express for $125.
So how did you turn it around, and what was the process of actually selling the company to American Express?
That company was a Paris headquartered SaaS business that had 95% of its customers in France. So the play there was geographic expansion. So we grew that company in the UK, Germany, and the US. So what I learned at Motorola in sales, Primavera in sales, and Oracle in sales was pretty much the sharp end of how we grew KDS. It was a sales play, a go-to-market play. So it was really kind of optimizing sales and marketing in new geographies. A little bit of what I'd done at Primavera. And we created a partnership with American Express where they were relying on our technology for a white label arrangement to service their customers. And as a result of that, they were kind of automating, you know, a big part of their business meant they didn't need people to do a bunch of stuff. They were using the technology to do it. So when we knew we wanted to sell the company, we went to American Express and said, we have a partnership. This is delivering a lot of value for you. You probably should think about buying the company. And they kind of said, you know, partnership works. Why would we buy the company if, you know, we can just pay you to white label it? So then I went to MasterCard and said, we're delivering a service to American Express. You probably ought to have the same service. We know you have some relationships, but they're not delivering for you in the same way as we are for American Express. So we signed a deal with MasterCard. It was a commercial deal at the time. So then I started to negotiate an equity position for them to invest in KDS. The talk track was, you know, if we suddenly change strategy, you're going to be left vulnerable. So you should have, you should invest, you should have a seat, you should have a say. And it was supposed to be a 25%. In the end, it was like a 5% negotiation. But the threat of American Express's number one competitor taking an equity position in a partner that they relied on heavily in Europe mm-hmm. brought them back to the table. So it was like creating a bit of competitive tension, even though American Express didn't understand that the investment was actually going to be, you know, it wasn't really material. Just the threat of it brought them back to the table. And then what followed was one of the most entertaining negotiations of my life with the then chairman of one half of American Express, which was their travel management business. Like I negotiated the deal with that guy, and it was just insane. It included him having me removed from his offices twice by security.
What you gotta walk us through this. What was such a big? It was like a Dame Dash situation.
I'm thinking like champagne bottles is coming in there. How did you get in this office? And so it had to be removed.
What? It was so funny. I was pretty young too. So what, I'm trying to remember what basically happened was after the MasterCard thing, they called and said, actually, we thought about it. You know, we need to have a conversation about acquiring you. Okay. So we all showed up, did the presentation. The company at the time was turning over $35 million. It wasn't 35 million euros. So it wasn't huge. So we do this big presentation. He says, love the company, love what you do. I'm going to make you an offer. But when I make you this offer, the only thing you cannot do is negotiate the offer with me. There's a room full of people. We are not going to negotiate the offer. But you can ask any question you want to ask. And we'd had a great meeting up until this point. So he, you know, writes down a number on the paper, slides it across the table. So I open the paper and it says 6 million euros. Now the company's turning over for 85 million euros. So the offer just doesn't make any sense. It's less than we're paying the developers to develop the software that we're talking about the company acquiring. So I was so stunned when I was like, Greg, this doesn't make any sense. Like, where'd you get 6 million from? He said, see, I told you, don't negotiate the offer. That's it. And he picked up the phone and like just called somebody and security turned up. They said, Mr. Ford, I'm sorry, you got to go. And I was looking at him like in disbelief, is this really? And that was the first time. Then the second time it happened, it was a long way further down the cycle. He calls me, says, listen, I'm going to be in London. I understand we didn't see eye to eye last time. Come up to the office. I'm going to set this straight. So I said to my wife at the time, oh, if he's calling me back, it's a done deal. Like we don't, it's going to get done. So I go up to his office. It's just me and him. The office is huge in London. And I arrive and he's super friendly. How's your weekend? How's your family? You like Jay-Z and Beyonce, don't you? I'm like, yeah, I'm a huge fan. He says, oh, they've got the apartment above mine in Manhattan or wherever, or Jersey. I'm going to bring you over. You should meet them. I'm on my boat next week. Like he's really laying it on. He says, anyway, I realize I offended you last time. I've made you a new offer. So he gives me an offer. It's 12 million euros this time. And, we've already told him that the clearing number is 100 million euros. Like, he knows this. And I say to him, Greg, this is ridiculous. Like, how could you even imagine this might be possible? And he just starts screaming. He says, you know, you're an idiot. You don't know what a good offer looks like. I can't believe people told me that you're smart, that you know what you're doing. I can't believe you've been running this company. Who's let you run this company? And he calls security again and has me removed. And then, months after that, we get the deal done at 125. But
was he still there?
He did the deal.
So how did it go from 6 to 12 to 125? That's not even close to each other.
Two things happened. We started a conversation with Booking.com and they became aware of that. So again, the competitive tension steepened. Actually, three things happened. Booking.com happened. Their partner contract with us was coming up for renewal. So I terminated the partner contract. So I said,
we're walking away.
Wouldn't say it was a bluff, but said, you know.
Comfortable not doing this.
We need to renegotiate the terms of this agreement because we don't like them. And we're having other conversations which may affect whether or not we can partner with you. Right? That was the next thing that happened. And then the third thing that happened is I called him and said, I got a board meeting on Friday. And during that board meeting, I'm going to be looking at free offers. And if I accept one of those offers, I won't be able to negotiate with you to potentially acquire the company. So if you want to make me an offer, you have to do it by Friday at 5 o'clock. Okay, bye. And I put the phone down.
No time to respond.
And I had no board meeting on Friday either, by the way. Right? So when I said that to him, and then I was at home on Friday, I remember I was playing FIFA with my son on Friday. I completely forgot about this conversation. So I'm playing FIFA with my son, and I see he's calling my phone. So I'm looking at the phone, I'm thinking, why is he calling me? And then I remembered that I'd played this move of, like, you've got until Friday to buy a company. So as soon as I remembered, I'm like, don't answer the phone. So I just let the phone ring. So he keeps ringing, like he's banging the phone at this point. So I turn the TV down. I'm like, Greg, I just stepped out. I'm like, what's up?
Pause the game.
And he says, you need to not take any offers. I need to speak to you. You need to step out of the meeting right now. I said, look, Greg, if you want to make me an offer, email it to me. I'm in the board meeting right now. I can't talk. And I hung the phone up. And then this, like, just happened for the next 15 minutes. This kept happening. And then he sent us an offer just under 100. And I said to him, you know, I told him I stepped out of the meeting. I said to him, look, I really want to do this deal with you. I'm really going to try. I don't know if this number quite gets you there, but I'm going to, like, stop these discussions so that we can progress this. You know, let's take 2 or 3 days, see where we can get it to. We got it to 125.
Brilliant. That's brilliant.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.